Hello, welcome to David's Book Talk, and today we have a very, very special guest. You might recognize her name, Catherine Leigh Scott. She originally appeared in the Dark Shadows TV show, among many other credits, and she's got two books out, Dark Passages and also The Dark Shadows Return to Collingwood. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
What an honor to talk to you.
Oh, well, thank you.
I mean, I grew up with Dark Shadows. I mean, that was part of my childhood.
I mean, did you watch it when it first came on, or
yes.
Rerun?
No. When it first came on, I was sitting down watching. I don't know why my mother let me watch it. I mean, this was back in, it started in 67?
Right. No, it started in June of 1966.
Oh, 66, okay.
Yeah.
1 year off. So I was 4 years old then, but I remember watching it after school. But I don't know how I watched it after school. I must have watched it later on.
Well, the show was on from June of 1966. We did 1,225 episodes, and the show went off the air in the spring of 1971.
But I remember watching it in the afternoon, which is really strange. It was on at 4 o'clock, I think, on ABC, wasn't it?
It was. You would have watched it, but not at, well, maybe. Rushing home from first grade?
I don't know. Now that I think about it, I know I watched the show. But, I mean, and I know later on I used to watch it in syndication when it was on late at night on
of course.
Our local channel 48, which, and every time I watch it, just scared the crap out of me.
Of course.
Which was the whole idea, I suppose.
And it was. I think the show was entertaining, but for children who watched it, I think that it was just pure escapism. I've always thought that one reason why the show is so popular with children is that, you know, no matter what happened on the playground or the school bus or in the classroom, they could rush home and it was cookies and milk time and they could go to another place.
Right.
And I think that's really, the stories that we told.
Yes, definitely. Now, you were in how many episodes total?
Oh, I was in several hundred. I don't know. Maybe it's in one of my books. I think it's in the Dark Shadows Companion and also Dark Shadows Memories.
But I remember six
frankly,
something.
Frankly, I can't remember. It was several hundred, maybe 400.
Right, 400. Was every day enjoyable on the set?
Absolutely. I mean, I think it was just the greatest job on earth. I mean, I just loved it. First of all, I was newly graduated from an acting academy. And all of those things that one learns when you're in school, you know, how to do restoration comedy and Shakespeare and how to wear period clothing and all of that sort of thing. All of that was put to use in my very first job. So it was just a great
treat. How fortuitous.
Yeah, it was very lucky. All of us, especially the young ones, felt that way. I mean, it was a great training ground. It's not that people watch this show and you'd get other jobs from it necessarily. The real value in doing Dark Shadows was in that it was almost like a lab. You know, you could experiment and just learn your craft.
And and of course, Barnabas Collins was so terrifying, but you never saw any blood. But he was still terrifying.
You know, we were on during the daytime at a time when children were watching, and there was a woman who was from she was from the network, and she would sit and watch the show every day in the green room as we were taping it, because it was called Standards and Practices. But there were so many things you couldn't point a gun at somebody. You could point a gun and you could see the person the gun was being pointed at, but not in the same frame. There were language things. There were just all sorts of things that were just not acceptable.
Your voice was so memorable.
Oh, you know, I think that's why people recognize me now. I'm in the post office or the supermarket, and I've noticed somebody will all of a sudden turn around and say, "Weren't you Maggie Evans?"
Yes, amazing.
Yeah,
isn't it?
I think it's my voice.
And I still remember the voice from the episode, that voiceover. Right. That voiceover kind of thing, which worked so effectively in the show.
I mean, well, I'll tell you, we're all using our voices very effectively these days, doing these new dramatic CDs. There are original dramas that are produced by Big Finish Productions, and I'm actually doing one this weekend. I'm going to be recording with Christopher Pinnock. It'll just be the two of us.
Oh, I remember him. Now, wasn't he on General Hospital 1.2?
Oh, he probably was.
Yeah.
I don't remember. But, you know, we've been friends for over 40 years, and it'll be fun going in the studio and working with him again. You know, he always laughs about the fact that in my final show, when I left Dark Shadows, he drove me to the sanitarium. it is funny because on Dark Shadows, of course, when one of the actors read that they were going to be killed off, you never got too worried because you'd be brought back as another character.
Right.
But when, and I was brought back as, you know, ghosts and all, as four other characters. And then when I told Dan Curtis that I was leaving the show to move to Paris and get married, he was very much against it. He said that I was destroying my career and that I was making a terrible mistake. So as a lesson to me, he had me sent off to an insane asylum.
I love this picture of you. It's in the Dark Shadows Return to Colin, where you're leaning against the tree. That's just a beautiful picture of you.
Oh, thank you. That was taken at a big tree right outside the side entrance to Lyndhurst. And when we were filming House of Dark Shadows, and that picture hadn't been published before, and Jim Pearson saw it, and he said, "You've just got to put this in the book." And I was with Jim Pearson, Laura Parker, and some other friends from Dark Shadows at Lyndhurst last weekend, and we were given a private tour of Lyndhurst, and then taken up to the Tower Room, which is off limits to everybody. And we had a little champagne reception and for the five of us.
It's just beautiful. It's just a beautiful picture. It's
one of
pictures.
Thank you. And thank you for commenting about the book. I'm very proud of that book. I think it's the best one that we've done on Dark Shadows. It's called Dark Shadows Return to Cullenwood.
Right.
And it's really a celebration of five decades of Dark Shadows. Begins with the original series and then the two films, House of Dark Shadows, Night of Dark Shadows.
Right.
And all the behind the scenes anecdotes and the stories leading up to the 1991 NBC primetime show that lasted only six episodes.
Which I enjoyed until they took it off because of the Iraqi war, you know.
I know, but you know, I published the book Dark Shadows Resurrected, which gives an episode guide to all 13 of the available episodes.
Right.
And then there was a failed pilot at WB, and I write about that.
I didn't know that.
And then, of course, the new movie with Johnny Depp, directed by Tim Burton.
Which is apparently very funny. I haven't seen it yet, but
it is funny. They took a more comedic route with the story, and it's enjoyable. The film is actually, contrary to popular opinion, it's done terribly well. I think it's made $270 million worldwide. I think it opened number one in Paris.
Very cool.
It's a big hit.
Now, where did they ever find Jonathan Frid? I mean, he seemed so perfect as Barnabas Collins. I mean, did he have some stage training before the show? Or
he was. He was classically trained. He's Canadian. He'd done a lot of Shakespeare. And he was reaching an age where he really wanted to go into directing. And I think he wanted to kind of go into the academic world as well. And he had told his agent that he was going out, to accept this other job. And the agent said, "Well, I've got an audition that just came up. Do you mind just putting your trip off for a day or two and auditioning?" And of course, it was for Dark Shadows.
Wow! What a role!
He auditioned and he got the role, which, you know, just changed everything. It's always surprised me because now it's so common. You know, for example, on Mad Men, you've got John Slattery and John Hamm directing, and it would have been really interesting if Jonathan Frid, you know, when he was renegotiating his contract, had gone to Dan Curtis and said, you know, I've studied directing at Yale, and I'm a bona fide director. I'd like to direct a couple of shows.
How about you? Would you have ever wanted to direct any?
No, I'm not interested in directing, and I've produced a few things, but I'm not really that interested in doing that.
Obviously, you like to write.
I like to write. Yes, writing has become it's something that I've wanted to do since I was a kid, and acting and writing are sort of twin professions for me. I've been writing fiction now. I've written Dark Passages, which is written with sort of a wink and a nod to.
Yeah, I was reading it last night. Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And that got very good reviews. I was very encouraged. And now I've got another book coming out March 19th, and it's called Down and Out in Beverly Hills.
Oh, really?
And it's
sort
of a lighthearted mystery, which I'm really,
now that's
really
gonna be,
going to, you know, I'm going to enjoy seeing how that does.
Now, will that be Pomegranate Press also?
No. That book is no, I'll tell you, I try not to publish my own unless it's nonfiction and has to do with, for example, I did a couple of lobby card books and I've done, you know, other nonfiction entertainment subjects, but no, this one is coming out through Amazon in both trade paper and as an ebook, and I'm already at work on the sequel.
You just stay so busy. You're busier now than you've ever been.
Oh, maybe so. You know, my husband passed away a year ago.
Oh, sorry.
Yes, and I'm missing him terribly, and I think that my saving grace has been sort of involving myself in more writing. I write every day. I write 1,000 words a day, and I think that's a very good focus for me.
1,000 words a day. Wow, you really are busy.
Well, I think that's what somebody said to me the other day, that Graham Greene used to write 250 words a day and then quit for the day. I said, yeah, I write 1,000 because I'm only a quarter as good as he is.
What are some of your vivid memories from Dark Shadows?
Oh, you know, the first scene that I did with Jonathan was still remains my favorite of all of the episodes we did. It was really a lovely scene. You know, he showed up for that rehearsal wearing the you know, the cane, the ring, the mm-hmm. all the gear. But instead of dealing with him as somebody eccentric and so on, he was really just treated as a visiting cousin from England. And he arrived in Cullenwood as really a stranger at the diner where Maggie is working, and she sees him through the window. She's about to close up for the day, and she's emptied out the Silex pot, washed down the counter, put on her sweater, has the key in her hand, and then she lets him in against her better judgment, makes another pot of coffee, and the two of them have a wonderful scene together in which you can see that there's a spark of attraction. And Maggie, who's sort of from the wrong side of the tracks, oh, you know, she's looking for a knight in shining armor. Little does she realize it's this gentleman from another century, and he's a vampire.
I wonder if the show would have survived without Barnabas Collins coming in.
Oh, you know, it probably would have limped along and
wouldn't have had the ratings the guy once he came along. I mean,
no, once he came along, it just became, oh, such a very different.
Sort of like Erica Kane and All My Children. I mean, without her.
It would have foundered. I really do think that Jonathan was the reason. And I think that when we did that scene together, it was clear to Dan that we would become star-crossed lovers. And that was really the beginning of the Josette-Jonathan-Barnabas sequence.
Now, what was Jonathan Fred look like when the cameras stopped? I mean, what, did he stay in character, or was he able to change characters really quickly? I often wonder that. I mean, because he was so creepy when the cameras were rolling.
He had a marvelous sense of humor, but he also was very aware. Once the show became successful, he was very aware of his place, and he became, you know, the kingpin, the patriarch. He didn't, I mean, he didn't swagger around. I don't mean to say that at all.
Right.
But he was aware that he had to set a certain tone. And he did. And even though he came on the show nearly a year later, he just had a wonderful sense of himself, which, by the way, we all appreciated. And much of the way he was on camera as Barnabas is the way he was as Jonathan in real life.
Hmm. Well, minus
really
the fangs, of course.
I mean, I didn't see it as creepy, but then I was relating to him as Maggie Evans or Josette Dupre.
Right.
And there was something charismatic about him. I mean, he really was a romantic figure.
Was there a sense of creepiness on the set, though, sometimes?
No. Not really.
I mean, were there ever any ghosts in that? Anybody ever have any ghosts?
No, I mean, even when we were doing things with, you know, skulls and werewolves and hands coming out of the grave.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, we played the fearsome aspects of that, but no, there wasn't anything creepy. There was a lot of humor on the show. We played pranks on each other. We really had a good time. We were like a family. We were all ages. We had the children on the show who were, you know, 11, 12 years old, and
Willie Loomis.
Yeah, and then of course we had our matriarch Joan Bennett, who was
she's so wonderful.
Yeah, who was in her 50s. Jonathan was in his 40s. Grayson Hall was, you know, in her late 40s.
Right.
So we had all of these character actors, and then the young ones, you know, like me, Joel Crothers, Nancy Barrett. Victoria, Alexandra Molka, Laura Parker.
It's so easy to name them their characters because they're so identified with their characters.
I know, but that's the clue. You asked about Jonathan off camera and on. And the interesting thing is that when you're doing a soap, the writers play to your strengths and they see how you are and they write to that. So even though I played four different characters and they were very, very different one from the other.
Was that hard to do?
No, there were elements of all of those characters in me, and you become that person. You totally believe yourself to be that person. You imagine yourself as that person,
mm-hmm.
and in Jonathan's case, even though he played Bramwell and so on, he was always Jonathan Frid.
Mm-hmm.
Underneath it all, he was Jonathan Frid.
I mean, soap operas are always, I mean, I always respect the actors. It's such a hard job. I mean, day after day after day, you have to create new scenes.
Well, memorizing lines and hitting the marks. And I used to learn lines very quickly. The young people did.
Is there a trick to doing that?
No, I just have an eidetic memory, and I just learn very, very quickly. But
you're a very smart woman, I can tell.
I can read it through, and I know the words. But the older actors had difficulty. And you know, we had very little rehearsal. So it was tough on them. For the rest of us, those lines were very disposable. You'd learn them, and you'd carry them with you during the day. I promise you, a half hour after the show was over, I couldn't have said the same words.
Hmm. Interesting.
It's just the way you work. It's just the way you work. And it is hard work, but I feel geared to it, and I enjoyed it. When you're doing a stage play, it's a very different way of working. For me, it is. It's just different.
I can imagine. Now, where was it actually filmed? Was it filmed in England, or was it filmed here in the United States?
No, it was. First of all, it wasn't filmed. We did it live. It was captured on
Kinescope.
Oh, you
did do it live. Okay. Wow.
And all 4 years of the show were what you're seeing are, you know, the remastered Kinescopes, if anything. The show was done live. And the only filming we did was at Lyndhurst when we did the two movies. And no, it was live.
So what if they made a mistake? They just kept going?
Oh yes, that's why we have the blooper reel. That's why we have all of those.
The cameras. You can see the cameras. Yes.
Right, and as a matter of fact, I think it's the most. I think it's the most popular aspect of Dark Shadows. You know, talk about turning, you know, lemons into lemonade. They've made these blooper reels, and they sell like hotcakes.
Have you ever done anything acting-wise as rewarding as Dark Shadows?
Yes. Oh, yes. I love doing Chandlertown with Powers Booth, based on the Philip Marlowe stories.
Right.
I did several, long-form, multi-episode, miniseries and so on in England. I did Harvey with Jimmy Stewart, which I loved doing.
Oh, wow.
And
you actually did it with him? Him and Jimmy Stewart? Wow.
Yeah.
What a treat that must have been.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
He seemed like he would be, he'd be on the ball all the time. I can't imagine him not being always
ready. He was wonderful. He was a terrific stage actor.
Were you scared at first working with him?
No, not at all. Oh no, no. You never are. I think there's that first moment when you think, gulp, I'm going to be working with Johnny Depp. Gulp, I'm going to be, but then, you're not able to do your work if you're in awe of somebody.
That's
true. You have to put that aside and stand toe-to-toe and do the job.
You don't seem like you're fearful of much. I mean, are you, afraid of the dark? Are you afraid of ghosts?
No.
You aren't. You really aren't afraid of anything.
No.
I guess that's why you got the role in Dark Shadows. You're not afraid of anything.
No, I'm a pretty secure person.
Yeah, and you're a lovely person. I mean,
you're very easy to talk to. But I share this with my brothers. I mean, we're all three of us pretty secure. I think it was just our family life. So I think I'm lucky from that point of view.
And it sounds like you got along on the set okay with everybody on Dark Shadows.
We got along terribly well. I don't remember a single instance when, one actor hissed at another or, got cranky with somebody. There isn't time for that. And there were no rivalries, which was really interesting. I think it's because we all loved our roles and we mixed it up so much. There weren't, even Jonathan, as I've said, he was obviously the star of the show, but he wasn't the star of the show. We were entirely an ensemble, production.
Mm-hmm.
And, you didn't speak deferentially to Jonathan any more than, to one of the kids on the show. And by the way, young David Hennessy was far more experienced as an actor at 12 years old than four or five of us who were 18 and 19.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And a lot of the people on Dark Shadows were on other soap operas, too, so they had experience with what it was like to be on a soap opera. That must have been a tremendous help.
Yeah, I'm not really so familiar with that, but yes, you're probably right.
Yeah, because I know Joel Crothers was I think he was on Edge of Night, too.
Yeah, he could have been. And yeah, I'm not really all that familiar with that.
I used to be a soap opera fanatic when I was younger. I used to get Soap Opera Digest and read and
oh dear,
find out, who was on what show. And I love reading about all that stuff. I don't know why. It just was a thrill for me. And it still is to a certain extent today. I don't watch the soap operas like I used to, but I certainly watched a lot of Dark Shadows.
Yes, because they're going off the air.
Yeah, that's right. A lot of them are. That's true. But I mean, I used to watch One Life to Live in General Hospital. Do you watch a lot of TV yourself?
No. My husband, who is a journalist, he was actually the founding editor of Los Angeles Magazine, the first city magazine in the country.
Oh, really?
And he was a news junkie, as journalists tend to be. So we had cable on much of the time, and I'm telling you now, the television is on, is not on from 1 month to the next. In fact, I tried to turn it on the other day to watch something. It was on, and I had to figure out how to get the cable working.
Do you watch old episodes of Dark Shadows sometimes?
No, never.
Why?
No. Uh-uh.
Interesting.
I have a girlfriend who's on a series now, Castle. And,
very popular.
And Susan Sullivan. And we're very, very close friends. I don't think I've seen but two episodes.
Oh, I love her.
Oh, she's lovely. She's wonderful, but I'd rather see her at lunch than
exactly
on television.
But I just remember some of the things she's done. She's such a memorable, I mean, with Falcon Crest and Norman Greg.
She's terrific.
And Castle. And she's, you know, she's just a wonderful actress. And I think she did a Julie 4MD. I remember watching that show. That's how much I
know. Oh, you are good.
that was years ago.
I know.
She's such a memorable person, as are you. You know, just and every when you watch Dark Shadows, I mean, what was the day like in Dark Shadows? I mean, what time did you start?
If you read Dark Shadows Return to Cullenwood, you can see I write about what our schedule was like. In fact, I included that section because so many people do wonder what a day was like. But we started rehearsal at 8 in the morning, and we had a blocking rehearsal followed by a run-through, and then we went into wardrobe and makeup while we were blocking down in the studio, and then we had what we called a stumble through, and then a dress rehearsal, and then we were live at 3 o'clock. We finished the show at 3:30, and by 4 o'clock we were back in the studio, having changed out of our costumes and washed our faces, and we were rehearsing the following day.
Now, did you have to go home at night to learn your lines, or
yes? We left the studio at 6 o'clock, and you got home, learned your lines, and if you were working the next day, you were in bed, you know, by 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock, and back up the next, you know, you were awake the next morning at 6 a.m., ready to go to work.
I was looking at your resume, which is quite extensive. You've been in a lot of different shows, Matlock and one of my mom's favorite shows.
Yeah, I think I did about three of those.
You did. You were in Hawaii Five-0, which is my mom's favorite show.
I did a couple of those. Yeah.
Yeah. You got bounced around all these different shows. Yeah. What was that experience like?
Oh, it was fun. Again, when you come in to guest star and episodic, you're really doing some heavy lifting because, you know, you're carrying the story, and the regular actors are carrying the show in terms of, you know, their characters, but you come on as the foil generally, and you're walking into work with actors and directors who are working together all the time, and you come in as the new kid. So, you know, it's not always it's fun. But it's hard work. It really is.
Now, Dark Passages, is this your first novel that you've written, or did you write novels before?
No, it's my first novel, and I'm glad that it was so well received. And I'm hoping you're directing everybody to my website, KatherineLeeScott.com.
There you go.
Because the books are all available there, but they're also available on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com.
Right.
And
what is it about writing that got you so hooked? I mean,
started out, I think, when I was in second grade, I was writing my first novel on my mother's old typewriter. I wrote a play about George Washington, and I played Martha, who had the most lines, and performed it. I mean, I've always been writing and acting.
Interesting. How long did
Twin Loves?
I'm curious how long Dark Passages took you to write.
It took a year. It took a year, and I started writing it when my husband was ill, and I could be in the same room with him and write on my laptop.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, and that's wonderful. Delighted. I was able to read the entire book to him, you know. And show him what the cover would look like before he passed away.
Now, tell me the truth. Did he ever watch old episodes of Dark Shadows just to see you?
No.
No?
No.
Even when you were away, he wouldn't take all of them out just to watch?
No.
Do you have all the episodes?
Well, yes, because now I've been gifted by MPI with this this coffin that contains all of the episodes.
I'm glad you were. I was trying to get one from them so I could talk about it with you, but they wouldn't send
me. You think they were going to give you a $500?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, right. Dream on. No, I'm...
You had to do all the work to get that.
Right. I think I'm a bit astonished that I got a...
But I didn't even get a response, so, yeah. Well, that's
No, I got one from the, from that first batch. I think they ran out.
Right.
No, I'm afraid, David.
Yes. Did you do interviews for that?
I did.
Yeah. What was Kate Jackson like to work with?
Oh, I didn't really work with her.
Oh, really?
She came on the show.
Daphne Harridge, right?
In the last couple of months as I was leaving. In fact, I think I saw her in the studio maybe two or three times before I left.
But you have met her.
Oh, I'd met her. And we'd gone to, we were both at the American Academy of Dramatic Arts, but no, I didn't get to know her as well as Nancy Barrett and Laura Parker did.
Laura Parker is just an amazing woman. I mean, I remember when she was first on that show, it's just memorable. I mean, her character was just so evil.
Yeah, I'll tell you, we're doing a book signing together in Atlanta on September 13th.
Well, say hello for me.
I will do that. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, she's a sweetie. She's very nice. And so what's so fascinating is to listen to her voice, because it just brings chills to me, because I remember it from the show, you know, and it's just...
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
Yeah.
What are some of your fondest memories?
Oh,
what did you say?
Just the fun of being together and going up to the Brittany Dussois for drinks afterward
You were really like one big family.
We really were. And many of those little behind-the-scenes anecdotes are in Dark Shadows Return to Cullenwood, because those are the things that fans really want to hear about.
Now, did you take some of these pictures in here, or? There's some beautiful pictures in here.
A couple, but frankly, most of them were taken by my boyfriend at the time, who later became my husband, Ben Martin, who is a photographer for Time Magazine. And we were on West 54th Street. Time Life was, just five blocks away on Sixth Avenue. And 54th. And so he used to walk over during his lunch. And he would take pictures. And many of those pictures had never been developed. It was just raw negative and then contact sheets.
How did they get these paintings?
That those existed really made the book possible.
Who did the paintings? Like, here's a painting of Barnabas Collins from the...
Oh, a prop man.
They're so good. I mean, paintings were a big part of the show. I mean,
they were. The Angelique Josette and Barnabas portraits. But they were painted by, artists who worked in the, in prop departments.
Now, the one section, the mansion on the hill, and of course, we see the backdrop of the show that we saw. What was that, a real house somewhere? I guess it was.
All of them were real houses. Lyndhurst was used for the movie, and the Matthews something house. The one on the cover was famous, and it was a girls' school. And now there's a huge movement afoot among Dark Shadows fans to restore that. It's now, I think it's a bed and breakfast. A lot of Dark Shadows fans stay there.
Right.
They're up in, one of them, the Lockwood Matthews is in Connecticut. Lyndhurst is in Tarrytown, New York. And the other one is up, there are a couple of them actually, but that main one is in Newport, Rhode Island.
Now, will there be another reunion at some point somewhere along the line?
Yes, we're going to have a reunion in Los Angeles. That'll be next summer. That is always posted on my website.
Right, so everybody can go there and see what's coming up.
Yeah, because it's not been planned yet, but it'll be here in Los Angeles.
You must enjoy those. That must be fun.
Yeah, they're fun because the fans now have become good friends.
I wonder what the fan base is now. I wonder how many people.
Oh, I'm told, and I contribute to that, the the mailing list. It's around 65,000.
That's a lot of people.
Well, it is, but you know, we've been going for 47 years, and those are real true fans.
Well, I guess I can't ask you about True Blood because if you don't watch TV, you don't really know much
about
True Blood.
No, I've never watched any of them. I never watched Buffy or. In fact, I don't even know the names of some of them. I did see one of the Twilights,
right.
the movies. I can't remember
what you
one.
Think.
It might have been the first one.
Mixed feelings, obviously.
Well done. You know, nicely acted, but it, you know, just. It was okay. I'm not a fan of horror movies, but everybody had been talking about it. I thought I should see it.
Now, are you a big reader?
Yes.
What do you like to read?
Constantly. Well, I just finished reading Beautiful Ruins. I'm about to start on a girlfriend of mine, Lisa Seidman, has just written a book called Killer Ratings, which is an e-book. You can download it on Amazon, but it's called Killer Ratings.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful writer. And let me see. Oh, and I was visiting from the Goon Squad. I just picked that up at the airport. I read a couple books a week.
Now, on a typical day when you're walking down the street, do a lot of people approach you? Do people recognize you right away? Or
Nobody ever approaches me. No. No, that doesn't happen. But it'll happen if I'm standing in a supermarket line and somebody hears my voice, and you know, they'll turn and look at me, and you know, I know at once that they recognize me. I guess it means that I should behave in public. I shouldn't get mad. I shouldn't get irritable.
Now, you've been on the stage too. You've done Broadway.
I've done Off-Broadway.
Off-Broadway.
And I've worked in the West End, of course, because that's when I worked with Jimmy. And I've done repertory. I worked at the Bristol Old Vic in England.
You've really done a lot in your life. It's really nice.
Well, I've been around for a while.
Yes. I wasn't going to say that.
No.
But I'm glad. It's nice to see you've done a lot of acting. Do you still do some acting at all? I mean, would you like to do some acting?
I've got a cameo in the Dark Shadows film, and Laura and Jerry Lacey and I just did a feature film called Dr. Mabuse, which will be out next year.
Excellent.
It's a low-budget feature.
Right.
And all of that is fun. I still do television commercials, so, yeah.
I guess acting never leaves your blood.
Well,
it's always in your blood.
Yeah, it's fun. It's what I'm trained to do.
Right. And you've done voiceovers.
Oh, yes, many.
Many. There's so many different things you do. It's nice. And then we have the books, the Dark Shadows book and Dark Passages. And we can look forward to more books, too?
Oh, yes. Yeah, Down and Out in Beverly Hills comes out March 19th. And
that's a great title.
And obviously Dark Passages and Dark Shadows Return to Collinwood will be around. And then I'm at work now on the new one.
Right. Always working. That's good to say.
Well, it's.
Now, you live in Beverly Hills and New York.
Yes.
So, interesting. So, you live on both coasts. So, do you prefer one over the other, or are they equally?
No. If I did, I'd get rid of one and live full time in the other.
So how do you like the cold when you're in New York or you're not in
I
the cold?
I love it, but I'm from Minnesota.
That's true. So, you're used to the cold.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. Well, it's been a lot of fun talking to you. I really enjoyed this.
Well, I've enjoyed it, and I'm so glad that you like the books, and I'm glad you're, you know, telling everybody about.
Well, I'm a Dark Shadows nut. I've always been a Dark
Shadows
nut. Yeah,
that's great. I appreciate it.
And it's just been one. Say hi to the whole cast for me next time you see
them. I will do.
Ones that are still around, anyway.
I will. All right. Good talking to you.
This has been David's Book Talk, and we'll talk to you next time.